Health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Senior Zone. I am your host, Sean Perry, and once again, we're excited about the show that we've put together just for you, our seniors and their caregivers. The call-in number for today's show is 240-638-5430. That's 240-638-5430. Again, thank you for tuning in to the Senior Zone, where it's our mandate to discover the topics and discuss the issues and concerns that matter most to you. Uniting seniors 50 and over with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events, advice, and cultural tidbits, the Senior Zone hopes to inspire, impact, influence, and improve the quality of life for older adults everywhere. Why? Simply because we care. As always, you'll want to get that pen and pad ready to take some useful notes as needed today. In case you didn't know, April is Parkinson's Awareness Month. In our first segment of today's show, we're going to do our part to raise awareness and provide useful information, support, and local resources for those that are afflicted. Our guest will be research advocate Lynn Swartz from the Parkinson's Disease Foundation. Following that, in our second segment, we're going to hear from the executive director of the D.C. Office on Aging, Ms. Laura Newland. She provides her second quarter of 2016, State of the Senior Address. I'm so excited to hear from her and where we are moving our seniors forward in the District of Columbia. We're closing our show today with birthdays of the week as well as news and announcements. But before I move any further, please allow me to thank those that allow us to do what we love to do here on the Senior Zone. And first up is AARP Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They provide free legal advice, assistance, and referrals to all district residents 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, landlord-tenant disputes, estate planning, and so much more, LCE is there for you and at no cost. They can be reached at 202-434-2120. 202-434-2120. Next up is Right at Home. Right at Home is the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance to maintain their independence. If you're looking for the best in in-home care, either for yourself or your loved one, give Right at Home a call at 301-255-0066. That's 301-255-0066. Last and certainly not least, but our newest sponsor here on the Senior Zone, United Healthcare. The United Healthcare Community Plan is a Medicare Advantage plan offering more benefits than original Medicare, making getting care simpler for you. The Medicare Advantage Plan gives you access to the quality, service, and value of United Healthcare and their partners. For more information on the United Healthcare Community Plan, call 443-740-5888. That's 443-740-5888. If you're a first-time listener or you've been listening to us for 3+ years now, we say thank you for giving us your time, your attention, and support. Continue to tell your friends, tell your pastor, tell your neighbors. Check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, etc. So we're going to get started right now. With me this morning, we have Mr. Lynn Swartz. He is a research advocate with the Parkinson's Disease Foundation. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Sean. Thank you for having me here.
How are you doing, sir?
Great. Thank you.
Please allow me to finish your bio, and then we'll jump right into this, okay?
Absolutely.
Lynn has been living with Parkinson's since 2003. In his work with the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, he has found a number of opportunities to help speed research, including serving as a community advisor to researchers at the University of Maryland, as a partner with John Hopkins Medical School, and educating communities about research, and a grant reviewer for the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. Lynn has been a trial attorney attorney in the Baltimore area for more than 25 years, focusing his practice on the legal rights of children. He is actively engaged in his community as a Boy Scout leader, recreation athletics coach, and the trombone section leader of his local jazz band. You stay busy, sir.
I absolutely do. I have unfortunately had to retire from my position as an attorney due to my condition. But
Yeah. Well, it's good to have. I don't know how that sounded. You know, I understand you're afflicted with Parkinson's, but it's good to have someone in your position providing a perspective, particularly during this month of April, that's Parkinson's Awareness Month, only because you can provide a real testimony for what it's like living with Parkinson's disease. So I applaud you for coming out today, you know, and to share with our listeners what you're about to share with them. But again, April is recognized nationally as Parkinson's Awareness Month. If you can, tell us more about the disease, the symptoms that people might experience.
Yes, it first presents itself in a classic sense, and I'm not a physician or a neurologist, you typically go to a movement disorder center and find a good neurologist, and that's what I did. When I first noticed a tremor in my right foot, my wife actually noticed it while we were watching TV. But it turned out that it was one of the I had other conditions at the time in 2003. I was slow moving, I'd slowed down. My balance was a little bit off, but not much. Mm-hmm. But I had also micro handwriting. It was a telltale sign as well that your handwriting is very small and unintelligible. Also the tremor. So those are your presenting things. Now, the other people have, there's a wide variety of things that people can be symptomology wise, they can have depression. It's been found that recently that depression, particularly for early onset individuals, that be people that are under the age of 50, as I was 43. These folks have also had those type of issues. They also, it can lead, it's a progression in the disease, so the symptoms build up over a time. It's a slow progression for individuals of my age, it has been at least. You can have swallowing difficulty, you have a diminished voice. One of the most initial presenting features I had was a blank stare. I didn't blink my eyes, and I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. It almost scared children around me, so I developed an ability to smile a little bit more and make my face a little bit more active.
Now, you said you were diagnosed at the age of 43, and I always thought that this was an older person's ailment. Disease. How many folks are diagnosed below the age of 50?
It's estimated that between 2 to 5% of the population of individuals that have Parkinson's disease, and that'd be worldwide. The numbers that we have are about 6 million, maybe more. There's over 1 million in the United States, and it's a 2 to 5% would exhibit these symptoms earlier on.
Are the symptoms for early onset Parkinson's, are they just as pronounced as they are as if you, as opposed to if you got it at, age 55 and beyond?
It varies with the individual. It, it depends on your background, and your family history and everything else. So you need to check into that for yourself.
So, again, if you can, share some data with us. Who lives with Parkinson's, and, how many people in the U.S., have it?
It is over 1 million, but the numbers are not accurate, perhaps, because there hasn't really been a nationwide census of it. And before the Congress right now, there's actually a legislation that will allow for that, taking a national census on chronic illnesses such as Parkinson's disease so that we have accurate numbers. It's very important for research to know geographically and economically and otherwise where people come from who have this disease so that we can come up with cures and ways to deal with it better.
I can imagine with those with little to no medical or health care access and the symptoms, I'm sure you have to rule out many other things before you're diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Right.
In many cases.
Exactly. If you have a little pain in the back, or you have a little bit of shaking here and there, or you have difficulty getting up from the chair, you wouldn't think that was something that was necessarily Parkinson's. You'd think that was just part of getting old, so to speak. But if it really becomes chronic and it's a difficult situation for the person, your family members should notice that and say, "Look, let's go to to the doctor's office and see what we can find out. And I do stress that you should go to a movement disorder specialist.
I was just about to ask you, when you were diagnosed, where did you go to find out information and seek support?
I actually was referred for, I went to my primary physician, and she didn't know very much about Parkinson's. In fact, she said, I don't think you have Parkinson's. And the minute I walked into a movement disorder center at Johns Hopkins, within 5 minutes of sitting talking with the doctor about and him observing me, he diagnosed me. It was amazing.
Yeah. You know, as I was preparing for, you know, our discussion today, you know, I learned that many people still have a stigma, you know, that they associate with having Parkinson's, the tremors, the, you know, from the onlookers. I can see why, you know, and they're very nervous about sharing, you know, their thoughts. Were you this way when you first diagnosed at 43?
Absolutely.
And what can you say to others that may be going through the same thing?
Well, it's very hard when you first get diagnosed. You don't know what to deal with it, how to deal with it. And I and my wife and my two children were involved in this, and I chose at the initial stage, because my children were young, to just tell my wife and not tell even my brothers or my family. I mean, friends. I went 7 years without disclosing it to my own children even. They knew something was awry and something was wrong. But, you know, but I'll tell you, after 7 years, the minute I told somebody outside of my wife that I had Parkinson's, it was lifted off my back, and I found that there's a world of people that are kind and care and are interested in making sure that my life, the quality of life, is as good as anybody's. And I really appreciate that world that opened up to me.
Yeah, you know, I find once you decide to reveal instead of keep things concealed, you know, that weight, you know, is certainly lifted, no matter what you're going through, in many, many cases there. And you mentioned a neurologist. Is that the sort of doctor that diagnose, you know, someone who has Parkinson's?
Absolutely. And these are trained professionals who have seen, you know, hundreds of cases. They're not 100% all the time, but they're right on. Statistically, you don't know. Parkinson's doesn't have any biomarkers. There's no simple blood test you can take. There's no simple diagnosis. It's really a bundle of symptoms that the doctors look at, that the neurologist looks at.
Yeah, and so unless your primary care is mindful of that and looking for that, he or she is just treating the symptoms of the day that you came in there with. They're not connecting the dots.
That's right.
So it's important to know that if you just realize as a patient that something is just not right, things are progressing, your primary is not connecting those dots, it's important to request, you know, I'm sure, to see a neurologist.
Absolutely. I've heard countless stories of people getting unnecessary surgeries, unnecessary medical care, hospitalizations, which leads to, you know, complications, obviously. But without a proper diagnosis, you can't get the kind of treatment that you need. And it's really crucial that you do that.
So let's talk about some of the treatments. Obviously, there's not a cure yet.
No, there's not.
Correct. Is there one on the horizon? Is there any promising research?
There's promising research, but and I must say this, it's very optimistic. It's not in the near future that we'll have a cure. I don't think, from the literature that I've read and the individuals I've spoken with, but we have a number of promising treatments that make the quality of life that much better for people. You know, there's this levodopa, carbidopa, levodopa is thrown around, this kind of medication that people take who have Parkinson's, and that's been given to people for over 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. Hasn't changed much. But lately on the horizon, there's new medications, new forms of medications.
Well, let's talk about what some of those new treatments are.
There's been recently a pump now that has been approved that allows the medication to be administered very over the 24-hour period very evenly, so that the person with Parkinson's doesn't have the fluctuations and what they call ons and offs, where they can't move, they can't do their daily activities. This medication can be administered by a pump. Also, there's a deep brain stimulation that helps individuals who have unwanted movement, that the dyskinetic movement, and also the other symptoms of Parkinson's, the tremors, are reduced to virtually nothing by the deep brain stimulation. Yeah. So for people that are more progressed, those kinds of options are there. But for the individual that's first diagnosed, the standard care, the medication that they have will treat and will get them keep their quality of life for quite some time.
Yeah, this is a sidebar kind of question that just came to mind, but are there holistic approaches to treating Parkinson's?
Just recognized holistic treatment. Exercise is the most fundamental holistic thing you can do. There are also, and that includes Tai Chi, yoga. They're now even saying boxing. They did a study on boxing. There's a number of organizations such as Parkinson's Disease Foundation, for which I volunteer, that have set up local activity centers for people with Parkinson's, particularly for those areas of holistic care. Mm-hmm. Also, there's mindfulness in terms of using meditation to deal with the stress and anxiety that is the result of your self-conscious, you know, being conscious and feeling that you're out of place in the world because of your Parkinson's.
Yeah, you know, no matter which organization I speak to, and I say this almost every week, you know, the common denominator for many of these chronic illnesses, whether it's arthritis or kidney issues or Alzheimer's or what have you, it always comes back to diet, exercise, and nutrition.
Absolutely.
In many, many cases. You got to get that in check first and know your numbers. I'm always preaching about knowing your numbers here on the Senior Zone, you know, to our listeners. So get to know your cholesterol and your blood pressure and your glucose and your body mass index number. And just know, because those are the baseline numbers. Those are the gateways to many other chronic issues. So I plug that every time in my show, but it's easy because, you know, no matter which organization, again, that I speak with or speak to, you know, those sorts of activities, diet, exercise, and nutrition, always comes back around.
Well, Sean, you do great service to the community by emphasizing that, because public health is number one.
Yeah, yeah. So I know you're fighting as a research advocate to find an end, you know, to Parkinson's disease. You know, real quickly, Len, why is this so important to you?
I can't really say why it's so important to me, but it's important to the community, important to my family. It's important to my children, the boys I've worked with in scouting, the people I play side by side in my band. Mm-hmm. They see me go through this every day, and it's I can't always explain what's happening. So it's important that there be public awareness, so that it's not something out of the norm, and that people aren't ashamed and embarrassed to speak up about the fact that they need medical care and intervention. They should be. They'd be privileged to live in a time in society where we can get treatment and that they will deal with their symptoms.
Absolutely, absolutely. We are running out of time, as always, here on the Senior Zone. Time does fly. For some of our listeners that may be afflicted with Parkinson's, as well as for, you know, their caregivers and loved ones, where can they find information, support, and local resources?
Well, the primary places you can go are to the big organizations such as the Parkinson's Disease Foundation. It's been around for years. It's reliable information. Don't go wandering around on the internet just picking and choosing information. You really can call the helpline at Parkinson's Disease Foundation. It's at 1-800-457-6676. Mm-hmm. And they'll help you there to get to a movement disorder center. They'll help you to get to a holistic Tai Chi class if you need to get to one. Sure. They'll help you to talk to your physician, tell you what you need to tell your physician to get the referrals to the proper diagnosis. They have booklets that they can provide to you, and they also have a doctor on board at the time that can answer some questions, even via the internet. So
gotcha. Let me get that number out to our listeners. That number is 800-457-6676, as always. I'll say it twice. That's 800-457-6676. If you want to email them, you can reach the Parkinson's Disease Foundation at info@pdf.org. That's info@pdf.org. Their hours are from 9 to 5. That's Eastern Standard Time. And again, 800-457-6676. Lastly, Len, what advice would you give others that are living with Parkinson's disease right now?
Have fun. Get out and enjoy life. Improve your situation. Don't stay inside. Don't think that people are going to judge you by your shaking or by your crouching over or slouching. They're going to come over and help you to get up from that chair. They're going to help you. They're going to get you involved in playing games with them and in having fun. So do the things you love and continue to do the things you love as long as you can, and allow a physician or a neurologist or a person who cares to help you.
Lynn, you've been a great interviewer. And I thank you for traveling down from the Baltimore area, yes, you know, to our studios this morning. I appreciate all that you do. And hopefully one day soon we can find better treatment options, but certainly a cure for Parkinson's disease. I thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much again. Up next, we have the D.C. Office on Aging. It's going to be the second quarter State of the Senior Address by their Executive Director, Ms. Laura Newland. Birthdays and announcements are coming up. For now, here is Holy, Holy, Holy by Larry White.
Money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone, and I am your host, Sean Perry. And with me next is the Executive Director of the D.C. Office on Aging, Ms. Laura Newland. How are you, Ms. Newland?
Hi, Sean. I'm great. How are you doing?
I am doing quite well, quite well. And thank you for coming back and on to the Senior Zone for your second quarter State of the Senior Address. But let me introduce you a little bit better to our listeners. As always, we're excited with our next guest. She's a supporter and friend of the Senior Zone, the D.C. Office on Aging. Again, joining us this morning for her second of four State of the Senior Addresses in 2016 is the Executive Director of the D.C. Office on Aging, Ms. Laura Newland. She leads an agency that develops and carries out a comprehensive and coordinated system of health, education, employment, and social services for the district's older adults, persons living with disabilities, as well as their caregivers. Again, welcome, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
You're too young for me to call you ma'am. I know you. Our listeners may not know you yet, but they're getting to know you.
Thanks, John.
All right, Laura. Well, since we last met back in January 4th, I believe, I understand you had a confirmation hearing. Tell us about that.
I did. On March 11th, I had a confirmation hearing with the Committee on Housing and Community Development. That's the committee that provides oversight to the D.C. Office on Aging. And they held a hearing on my confirmation to be the permanent executive director of the D.C. Office on Aging. So I want to thank Mayor Muriel Bowser for the opportunity to lead this agency. And All the support I've received from the community, in particular the Commission on Aging, has been fantastic, and they've given me so much advice and guidance over these past several months, and I really look forward to our continued relationship. And actually, tomorrow, April 5th, the council will vote on the full council will vote on my confirmation. So, I'm really excited to lead this mission-driven agency, and we are all ready to continue our work in providing our best programs and quality services to seniors, people with disabilities, and their caregivers.
Well, I'm sure it will be all thumbs up, you know, from the council for your nomination tomorrow. And congratulations. You know, I know you walk into an organization with some great people, you know, over there that I've gotten to know over the past several years. So that part shall be easy for you. But I know you're going to put your thumbprint, your blueprint, your DNA, you know, on that organization. And I look forward to following you and seeing how that department, you know, better improves the quality of life for our seniors. So I understand that you've been going out in the community over the last few weeks, visiting, you know, many centers and community groups and meeting our local seniors here in the District of Columbia. If you can, you know, tell us, you know, what have you learned from that? You know, what are the seniors out there saying?
Gosh, Sean, I have learned so much as I have been out in the community the past several months, I guess. And I have, you're right, I've been at the senior wellness centers, at community events. We've been in all 8 wards really trying to listen to seniors, to hear from them about what's working for them, what's not working for them. As you might imagine, sometimes some of the stuff is tough to hear, but we are always really excited with the engagement and how involved people really are in their own local government. And we're really looking forward to being able to continue our work with them and make sure that our programs are adaptable to where they're at, what they need from us, rather than, you know, us dictating what they get in the community. So, you know, as you know, the former director, John Thompson, he left some pretty big shoes to fill. So we're doing our best to catch up to where he was at and introduce myself to all those folks. And then, you know, really, as we start getting to know each other, have great conversations about where we're at and where we want to go.
Yeah, well, from what I've learned and gathered, you know, folks have spoke, you know, positively, you know, about you. I'm glad to see that, you know, you're all hands on deck sort of a disposition in terms of just getting out in the community and letting folks share what they feel like they want to share. And as you know, once you hit seniorhood, you know, seniors aren't shy to share how they feel clearly about, you know, what's on their, you know, minds and in their hearts. And I'm sure you're going to experience that more and more as you travel through all 8 wards. Last time you were here, we spoke about the Safe at Home program, and I've been talking, at least announcing, you know, the benefits of that program here on our show each and every week since then. Can you tell us what's going on with that program now since it first launched several months ago?
Sure, I'd love to. This program, you were the first media outlet to have this announcement. We launched on January 4th of 2016, and, you know, it's really the first program of its kind in the country. It's a small grants program for district residents who are 60 and older, or for people with disabilities in the district, for a grant up to $10,000 for accessibility modifications in their homes that allow them to age in place for as long as they safely can. We have now had nearly 600 referrals. We have started construction on nearly 20 jobs, and we've completed over 10 of them so far, and we're just into early April. So we're really excited about where we're at with this program. It's been really, really successful. I've read a lot of the work that this program has done so far, and, you know, this is something that Mayor Bowser announced in her State of the District address, and actually one of our participants, Mr. Glee, was a special guest for the Deputy Mayor of Health and Human Services, Brenda Donald, at the State of the District, and he had been living in his house for years, and he actually had thought about selling his house last fall because he couldn't get around in his 3-story home the way that he used to. But we were able to make some pretty simple modifications, stair lifts, shower adaptations, and He is just thrilled. He's able to live in his house for as long as he wants. You know, there's another woman, she's 92, and she had been sleeping in her recliner for years because she couldn't get up the stairs to her bedroom. And, you know, when we were able to install that stair lift, it's really amazing how life-changing some of these pretty small, you know, modifications are, but we're making a commitment to really putting our services where this mayor's commitment has been, which is all about keeping people in the community for as long as they can.
Yeah, and it's important to know that this is not some pie in the sky, some unattainable program for a select few. The eligibility requirements are, as you said, district residents, 60 years of age and older, and you guys are offering up to $10,000. That's per person or per household, I would suspect, correct?
Yes, yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's really exciting to be a part of this program because, you know, like I said, we're really, you know, this really hasn't been done like this before in any other place in the country. And, you know, it's 60 and older or an adult with a disability. And our income guidelines, I think, are fairly generous. We are going by area median income, which means that if you're a household of one, you can make a little over $61,000 and still be eligible for this program.
Yeah, and I'm sure that covers probably 80% of households as a senior, $61,000. But let's move forward, because I'll talk about that program even after we discontinue our conversation, Laura, because I love that program, the Safe at Home program. We spoke last time about the benefits checkup program. Can you share more about that and where we are now?
Sure. Benefits Checkup is another program that's new for us, and we're really excited about it. This is a partnership with the National Council on Aging, and it is an online program. People can visit our website, dcoa.gov, and you answer a few questions, just general questions about where you're at. You know, where do you live? What's the zip code? What's your approximate income? You know, do you own or rent? Those types of things. And it's like 10 to 15 minutes. And then at the end, you get a personalized document that shows you all the healthcare benefits that you might be eligible for. So it links up to federal systems like Medicare and Medicaid, and it also links to some of our local benefits as well. And it's really, I mean, whenever I go out, I talk about this because this is a great private and reliable source to get information about what you might be eligible for, and you don't even have to talk to anybody. So you get to decide on your own what you might want to pursue, and then you know exactly what it is you might be eligible for, and you could be eligible for things that you had no idea. So this is a really exciting thing that we're encouraging people to try out.
What would be some of those things, if you're able to recall, some of those benefits that one may not be mindful of, but they could be eligible for?
So, you know, the focus for this program is actually a lot on healthcare. So it really is, a lot of it is related to Medicare and Medicaid. But a lot of times people don't understand the eligibility criteria. In fact, I have a hard time, and I have a law degree, you know. It's a really tough thing to try to figure out what eligibility is required for certain programs. And, for example, in the District of Columbia, you know, we have a program through Medicaid, but you can make more money and still qualify for a Medicaid program, but you aren't technically on Medicaid. So it's a really confusing kind of service array and try to navigate. You know, it's called our Elderly and Individuals with Physical Disabilities Waiver. And with that program, you can make up to 300% of the poverty line and still be eligible for care in the community up to 24 hours. But, you know, you don't have to qualify for quote-unquote Medicaid in order to receive it. So that's an example of a program where unless you knew or someone close to you knew exactly what the qualifications were, you wouldn't even think to apply for that program.
Yeah, and outside of just, you know, we're talking about the benefits checkup, if you just tuned in, benefits checkup program offered through or via the D.C. Office on Aging, but there are many other things that one may be eligible for, such as food and utilities and maybe even some legal help, some housing assistance, transportation, and many, many other things that they could be eligible for that they're not even thinking about right now.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a great, for us, it's a great way to educate people about our services as well. Because that's another thing that we hear in the community is we don't even know what all you guys do. And so this partnership with National Council on Aging is great for us because it helps people learn more about what might be available through our agency as well.
Yeah, great organization as well. Let's talk age friendly, if we can. You know, I know we're moving, you know, steadily, you know, towards becoming an age-friendly city, that designation that's awarded by the World Health Organization. Where are we now in that spectrum of the timeline of being ready for that designation of age-friendly DC by 2017?
Well, I think we're in a really exciting time for age-friendly. We're in the implementation phase, and the last time that we had an age-friendly task force, you know, somebody pointed out from the community, hey, you know, your goals and metrics for age-friendly are all government-driven. What about the community? And I think that was such an important point that for us in government, we didn't really think about, you know, because we're just thinking about, okay, what do we need to get done? And, you know, the point is that in order to be a true age-friendly community, we need community investment. Government can't just be the only driver. And so now we're at a stage where all the committees, there are 10 committees, one committee for each domain in age-friendly, and the domain range from things like public transportation, public spaces like parks, home and community-based services, outreach, basically everything that touches people in the community. So I am the co-chair of a domain that's home and community-based services. So each committee has had a meeting with their committee and said, how can we bring the community back to the table and reinvest and get the kind of passion and commitment we need so that it's not just another government program? So I'll say that for my committee, we are really excited moving forward. We've been able to assign community leaders to each of our initiatives, and our goal really is that everything that the district does, everything that the district government has a hand in, that we're attaching a senior lens to it so that we can say, okay, no matter what government entity it is, we are thinking about seniors and asking ourselves, is this friendly and good for seniors? So we're really excited about it.
Gotcha. I look forward to monitoring and just watching how the district moves, you know, towards that designation in the foreseeable future. It's within sight now. One other question for you. This has to do with your predecessor, but I wanted to see where we are with respect to this program. In 2014, your predecessor, Dr. John Thompson, launched an initiative to combat senior hunger by reducing and recapturing food waste in the District of Columbia. Where are we with respect to this undertaking that he launched? Does it remain a priority to fight, combat, end senior hunger in the district?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that when we talk about challenges for governments across the United States and localities, senior hunger is one. Food insecurity is a huge issue as people age. And, you know, I think that Director Thompson, he did a fantastic job of elevating this issue, and we are continuing that work. During his tenure, he created the Nutrition Task Force, which we are continuing. And the Nutrition Task Force looked at issues like food waste and looked at food insecurity in the District of Columbia and really started asking, how can we adapt our current programming to meet the needs there? Mm-hmm. We've continued the Nutrition Task Force, and we've now switched to more broader policy initiatives where we're asking, how can we integrate district government as a whole and community leadership in addressing senior food insecurity? So we're really excited about it. I mean, this is obviously a huge issue and it's a huge undertaking, but we're still very much committed to it. This is going to be one of our primary focuses, and we continue to be focused on this issue.
Good. And for the sake of time, I have to keep moving along because I have so many questions for you. But I know you have some upcoming events, some signature events that's put on by the D.C. Office on Aging. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, we're really excited. There's a salute to centenarians. We are going to be hosting an event to honor all the centenarians in the District of Columbia on April 28th. So if your listeners know anyone who is or will be 100 or older by April 30th, please call us at 202-724-5622. 22. I am also thrilled to have the honor of crowning the next Miss Senior DC in June, June 26th at the University of District of Columbia. So district residents who are 60 or older and interested in competing in the Miss Senior DC pageant can go online and apply at dcoa.dc.gov, or they can call our office. Again, that number is 202-724-5622. And then finally, we're going to have our fifth annual senior symposium. So please save the date. That's going to be on August 4th at the historic Dunbar High School. And we are planning our programming for that right now. We're really excited.
Yeah, you know, the DCOA always puts on wonderful events. And certainly the pageant is one. I've been to several of them already. I've even been a judge once and I've had a great time, you know, just watching our seniors do their thing, you know. And there's so many talented seniors here in the District of Columbia. So I'm sure the next one will represent that organization, you know, and her predecessors just as fine as they have when they've had the crown. Laura, I want to give you the floor because this is really your State of the Senior address. We have about 3 minutes to go. So if you have anything that you want to share that I haven't asked, this is your time, your platform. The floor is yours, ma'am.
Oh, thanks so much, Sean. You know, I'm really excited about where we're at, and I hope you can tell that. I think we have put in a lot of work over the past several months to really get a good handle on, you know, where things are at as an agency and where seniors are telling us they'd like to go. So what we're working on right now is not just an immediate plan for this year and the next fiscal year, but as we plan 5-10 years down the road, where do we want to go as an agency, but more importantly, as District of Columbia as a city. And so I have been really, it's been really encouraging to me and really great to go out in the community and talk to different groups and hear from them about what they want from us and how we can actually build community and not just make this about government and about, you know, government services. And so, you know, as part of that, we've gone out and visited a lot of the villages in the community. There are 14 right now in the District of Columbia alone in different stages. We love the grassroots nature of this. This is really about neighbors helping neighbors. And so for us at DC Office on Aging, our question is really to try to figure out how can we support the natural supports in the community that already exist and leverage those opportunities and really make sure that we continue to build a community where people want to age in place and where they feel like the District of Columbia is a great place for them, no matter how old they are. So we are really excited, and I'm really, you know, thrilled to be a part of this mayor's administration moving forward. I think we've got a lot of great work to do, but it is a lot of work. We'll continue to be out in the community. I look forward to hearing from even more seniors, and, you know, I actually have a town hall later today, so you know, we take all the feedback we hear and we talk about it internally and ask ourselves every day, how can we do better? So thank you so much.
Well, Laura, I want to thank you for coming on. I want to thank you for doing what you're doing on behalf of the district's older adults, you know, our seniors, as I like to still call them. Senior is not a bad word in my vocabulary. But Laura, again, thank you so very much again. We've been speaking with the executive director of the D.C. Office on Aging. This has been her second quarter State of the Senior address. Ms. Laura Newland, again, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Take care.
All right.
Up next, we have Gospel by, this is from a middle school out of Ohio, the Lee Bernson Middle School Jazz Ensemble. Birthdays and announcements coming up next. This is brought to you by our good friends over at Right at Home. Thank you.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
Attention Medicare beneficiaries. Do you have questions about Medicare? Now's the time to look at your health needs to be sure you have a health plan that best meets them. A Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare offers more benefits than original Medicare and may include prescription drug coverage all in one plan. Do you have Medicare? Are you eligible for Medicaid or QMB? Call and find out if you can enroll today. Attend an informational Medicare plan meeting in your community and bring a friend. Call Brianna Penny, Medicare Plan Director at 443-740-5888 to find a time and location that best works for you. That's 443-740-5888. It is that time of the week. Birthdays are back. And first up, we have Mr. Seth Henry. He turns 68 this Wednesday, April 6th, hailing from Olney, Maryland. Happy birthday, Mr. Henry. Next up, we have Jeanette Evans, 71, on Thursday, April 7th, from, check this out, folks, White House, Tennessee. I believe we had her last year. That sounds familiar. Next is Miss Phyllis Duncan. She turned 67 on Thursday as well, April 7th, from Southeast D.C. Happy birthday, Miss Duncan. Larry Cruz, 72 on Friday, April 8th, from Bowie, Maryland. Happy birthday to you, Mr. Cruz. Next up, we have Miss Penny Wagner, the big 6-0 on Friday, April 8th, from Northwest D.C. Happy birthday to you, Miss Wagner. Miss Marlene Diaz, she turns 63 on Friday, April 8th as well, and she lives in Sterling, Virginia. Happy birthday, Miss Diaz. Mr. Leroy Copeland, 67 on Saturday, April 9th, from Northeast D.C. Next up is Mr. Donald Cobb, 76 on Saturday as well, Saturday, April 9th, from Northeast D.C. as well. You two maybe neighbors, Cobb and Copeland. Miss Nora Knight, 75 on Saturday. A lot of Saturday birthdays. April 9th from Landover, Maryland. And last, certainly not least, Mr. Percy Freeman turned 71 on Sunday, April 10th from Northwest D.C. Happy birthday to each and every one of you guys. And keep those birthdays coming. You can do so by emailing us at info@theseniorzone.com. That's info@theseniorzone.com. In Senior Zone news and announcements, free tax preparation. It is still tax season, a few weeks to go. AARP Tax Aid provides free tax preparation assistance for low to moderate income taxpayers who live or work in Montgomery County. This program runs during the tax season until April 18th at more than 20 sites. Appointments are required. For more information, call 240-777-2577. That's 240-777-2577. We're going there today. Are you 50 years of age and older and looking for a job? So whether you're retooling, recharging, reinventing yourself, or simply re-entering the workforce, you don't want to miss this upcoming employment expo. This is today, April 4th from 10 to 3 p.m. at the Bethesda North Marriott Hotel. Admission and parking is free. The Senior Zone will be there immediately following this show. So we look forward to seeing you guys out there and hopefully find some gainful employment. Beginning on the second Monday of every month, starting this month, the Alzheimer's Association Memory Cafe will offer a fun and relaxed way to for people with early on-stage memory loss to get connected with one through social events that promote interaction and companionship at the Silver Spring Library in Silver Spring, Maryland. Pre-registration is required. Call Anna Nelson at 703-766-9006 for more information. That's 703-766-9006. Thursday, April 14th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Holy Cross Senior Center in Silver Spring, Maryland. It's Advanced Directives Day. Take your life into your own hands and decide in advance how you wish to be treated at the end of this life's journey. The event is free but does require registration. Call 301-754-8800. 301-754-8800 for more information. As we said on our with my interview with director of the DC Office on Aging, they have a new program called Safe at Home. It promotes aging in place for older adults who are 60 years of age and older, as well as persons living with disabilities by offering up to $10,000. I say that $10,000 in home accessibility grants that reduce the risk of falls and reduce barriers that limit mobility. To get more information or to begin the application process, call Safe at Home at 202-638-0050. That's 202-638-0050. Looking for volunteer opportunities? Well, AARP, they're seeking folks just like you. They're seeking people who are 50 years of age and older to mentor students in kindergarten through third grade. If you live in the D.C. area, you can sign up for an ongoing training program by calling 877-926-8300. That's 877-926-8300. The search is on for that elegant lady who will represent the D.C. or the District of Columbia as Miss Senior D.C. If you are a district resident age 60 and older and interested in competing for the title, you can go online at dcoa.dc.gov, dcoa.dc.gov, or call 202-724-5622. 202-724-5622. It's still not too late. Get your tickets now. I'm excited about our Spring is Here Gala, which is tomorrow, April 5th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort. Live entertainment, food, dance, and so much more. Invite your friends, tell your family, share it with your coworkers, but tell everybody to come on down and meet the Senior Zone, as well as many other seniors, at the Chesapeake Beach Spa and Resort tomorrow at 11 a.m. That's April 5th. It's a surefire good time. Tickets are available. Lastly, folks, to have your event or announcement mentioned here on the Senior Zone, or to share your thoughts about today's show or recommendations for future broadcasts, call the Senior Zone at 800-217-1984. That's 800-217-1984. Or you can email us at info@thesenior.com. Be sure to join us next Monday here on the Senior Zone, where we discuss sleep disorders with Dr. Janet Taylor of Life Reimagined. For now, don't change that dial. Here is Dr. Eve Taylor of Discover Your Why. She is up next. Until next time, have an intentionally blessed week. We love you.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.